Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by our head of production, our co-host, Seth Habager.
Good morning, everyone.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for being here, everybody. Yeah. We're going to have some fun today. We're going to kick things off the way we like to with our friend Brittany Merlot from the... Brittany, how are you doing today?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I was expecting a little more sun today, but I'm all right with it. I'm okay. We're good.
We can handle it, yeah.
Yeah, the temperatures and everything seems like a pretty nice, calm day today.
Yeah, the winds have finally calmed down. We've got spots of sunshine out there, but unfortunately more clouds than sunshine, and it's only going to get cloudier as we go through the afternoon because we've got another system that's sliding in from the south. So today, we're getting a little warmer into the mid-60s. We've got a wind out of the south. It's not too strong, not too bad today. Honestly, we're going to stay dry for all day today. We are looking at rain, though, moving in overnight, so tomorrow morning you're going to be waking up to a damp and dreary start. It is going to be overcast with light rain. We're not looking at any thunderstorms, and we're not looking at anything turning severe, so no worries about that tomorrow. But we do have another round pushing in at night as a cold front moves through, so it could spark up some rumbles of thunder and obviously some little bit more rainfall there, and then that could linger into Friday morning before the high pressure finally moves in, dries us out, and warms us up. So little chances of a wet end to the week here, and then the sunshine will be bright and beautiful Saturday and Sunday. Nice. We'll be in the mid-60s on Saturday and mid-70s for Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah, that's May weather.
Mother Nature's been doing this the last couple of weeks where we get kind of our bad weather in during the week, and the weekends have been a little nicer.
Yes, she's timing it out perfect, so I'm enjoying that.
She got the note. Well done, everybody. Finally. She got the note. We appreciate that. She works with us.
Has everyone been sending it to her?
Yeah. At the same time, just a mass text.
Are you feeling all right, Mother Nature? Are you doing okay?
Right?
We appreciate you, Brittany. Thanks for joining us. We'll get people ready for Thursday tomorrow.
Have a good day.
You too. Best in the business right there. Brittany Merlot joining us every morning right in this time slot.
Yeah.
Seth and I are going to get into some fun this morning in a little bit. We're talking about a new method of not paying it forward, paying it backward.
Oh.
I don't know.
We'll find out. Yeah.
We got a mental health hack for you as well, and the percentage of Americans that hate it when someone asks to help them move. I thought this was particularly good for you and I, considering how many times you and I have moved.
That's true. That's very true. That is an interesting thing, man. Test of friendship, I guess, is kind of where it is.
Kind of is.
Yeah.
Got some entertainment news for you we're going to get into. And also in the 9 o'clock hour, I want to put a focus on some of our local theater and our newsletter. The WBA is coming up this weekend.
Oh, yes.
All kinds of cool things.
I don't have any awards we're going to win.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You guys can help us decide where to put these things because we're going to need a lot of them.
We're going to have so many.
And before we wrap up the show, we got what outdated slang words do you still use often?
Oh my god,
yes.
Right in my wheelhouse. I love it.
This is so good,
man. Words I want to try to bring back and get other people to use.
There's some we're bringing back, definitely. Even if it's just you and I, we're doing
what are they saying?
All that coming up for you, and of course we'll get into our good stories of the day, talk about some local events going on in our area. Make sure that you guys are all up to date on different stuff happening, especially with Memorial Day and other events coming up. We're looking forward to it. Real quick, though, got to get a couple of stories here in our opening monologue. A Michigan State Police trooper's attempt to return $5,000 in lost cash to its owner were temporarily frustrated when the money's owner thought the calls were a scam.
Oh, no.
The MSP said on social media that the trooper from the Monroe Post found the cash in the middle of Monroe's Hubbard Road on Friday.
Oh, no.
So he comes across this cash, and the trooper contacted a nearby bank, which confirmed a customer had just made a withdrawal for the exact amount.
There you go. That's cool.
So great police work
there. Yeah, right.
Boom, boom. Making you know sense. Where to go. Mm-hmm. You're going to be able to get done with this real quick, file your report. You're done. You got this taken care of.
Right.
The trooper tried calling the person who took the money out from the bank, but soon discovered there was a problem. Quote, the subject must have been listening to our public service announcements on being a victim of fraud and believed he was being scammed and hung up on the trooper several times.
Stop calling me.
The person was eventually convinced that the calls were not a scam and claimed ownership of the lost money. Quote, it appears the subject, after making the withdrawal, put the money in their pants pocket and it somehow fell out. I know how this happened.
Okay.
I know exactly how happened.
All right.
This has happened, I think, to every one of us. You just maybe don't know, or you just were lucky enough to catch it.
Yeah.
You think it's in the pocket.
Oh, yeah.
But it's only a corner in, or like 20% in the pocket.
And immediately, or like you move a little bit, and it falls out.
Or especially if you go to sit down in the car,
and it pops out,
and you bend the leg.
Mm-hmm.
The pockets are one of the smarter inventions that we have done very badly done a bad job with. First,
seriously,
we don't give women enough pockets.
Yeah,
that's first and foremost.
Weird. I don't know what's up with that.
The people that need them the most, we're not giving them to. That doesn't make any darn sense.
Right.
But the pockets are also they're not really built to hold certain things. They're built to hold just about anything, mm-hmm. which is understandable.
Right.
But at the same time, I don't feel like they're tested. Because I don't feel like they'd make it off of the assembly line if they tested half of these pockets. Some of them you can't fit anything in.
Right.
Some of them, they're just big enough to frustrate you.
Right.
Just enough to get half your phone in there.
Yeah. You know, so here's a question, and I've been told a couple of things. So for men's jeans on the right pocket, right, there's a smaller pocket in the pocket. What is that for? I've heard little change, but that doesn't make any sense because you'd have to dig in, something like that. Is it for a watch? Is it for what? What is that little pocket for? I want to know, everyone. I want to know.
It is specifically so people will ask the question, what is that pocket for?
It's a way to make conversation.
It's a conversation starter.
What is that pocket for?
It's a great question. A great question.
I want to know.
I want to know, this is the story we heard about with this officer and this, this subject and everything. I can't imagine how many times this happens and we don't know about it.
Right, exactly. Well, and he's glad it was it's good that it was a trooper or a police officer that found that money.
Yeah.
Because anyone else, in all likelihood, they would have been gone.
So the little pocket on pants found on the front side of the right jeans was originally designed to hold a pocket watch.
Oh, it was.
The pocket was a feature of early waist overalls, the original name for blue jeans.
Waist? Oh, because they don't go overalls like overalls do, right?
Yeah.
So, okay.
That's pretty cool. I got to say, I think pocket watches are kind of cool.
They are.
I like them.
That's interesting that the transition of still, because that was before wristwatches. Wristwatches came in what? In the 30s or the 40s or something that? When men stopped using pocket watches. Yeah.
They're saying back in 1873, this is what they were for.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I didn't. Blue jeans are that old?
Oh, yeah. Levi's been around.
I didn't realize they were that old. Oh, my God. And I know certain groups like farmers and stuff used them. Mm-hmm. At one time, that's the only group that used blue jeans because they needed a rougher pant, right, for all the stuff they had to go through, right? So.
The evolution of blue jeans and the
fascinating.
The way they are, especially in society. Very interesting.
Except anymore.
Gen
Z has given up on blue jeans.
They're done with uncomfortable clothes. Yes. Period. Yes. Good morning. You're on the show.
Oh, we lost him.
Call back. 715-424-2600. So I had another one I wanted to touch on here as well, Seth, because, of course, we are getting ready. We are getting closer and closer to May. It's tomorrow, and May 4th right around the corner as well.
Mm-hmm.
I know that May is a big month for my family. We got a couple of big birthdays in there, my brother and my oldest and some others.
My father has his birthday in May as well.
Right. And there's, of course, wedding season. And a Las Vegas wedding chapel is getting into the swing of things, the sci-fi of things. They are celebrating Star Wars Day on May 4th by offering a pair of themed wedding packages inspired by the beloved franchise.
Really?
Yes. Now, if they really wanted to do this right and really, honor the Star Wars franchise, they would come out with 18 packages and only two of them are good.
Oh, ba-boom.
It says the guy that watches every single one of them. It was up until about 2 in the morning watching the latest episode of Andor. Or one of the episodes of Andor,
Which is fabulous. I mean,
It really is. Yep. I'm taking my time with it. Mm-hmm. I'm only on episode 2. Even though they release them, I'm only watching one a week because I want to stretch it out.
That's nice.
I want to enjoy it. The Little Vegas Chapel, which previously offered Star Wars-themed weddings on May 4th in 2024, said couples who want to tie the knot in a galaxy far, far away could choose from two packages. The Yoda One for Me,
Oh, wow.
Or the Love Star. Love Star should have been the name of a Parliament song. George Clinton should have a song called Love Star.
He can't use it now, but you're right. That's totally, that should have been Funkadelic all the way.
The chapel promoted the packages with photos of staff members wearing t-shirts saying, "Till Death Star do us part."
Jeez.
Boy, both, even if I wanted to do this, this would have made me groan so much. I'm like, okay, we're not doing this. I know I got the Han Solo outfit, but we're not doing it. I'll find another use for it.
Oh, my God.
Both wedding packages offer the officiant dressed as either, or the officiant dressed as either Princess Leia or Darth Vader, and include custom Star Wars music, bouquets, and professional photographers. Right. A video of the ceremony and a Star Wars themed wedding certificate are also included. It does look like you can also choose to have Elvis marry you for the Star Wars wedding.
Well, Elvis can do anything, so, you know.
True.
Elvis can, yeah, that's fine. I'm Elvis in Star Wars universe. I like
Thank
that.
Very much. Okay,
yeah, I do like that, to be
My
fair.
My limited
Although,
fake Elvis.
Something, you know, some of these puns that they're throwing out there, man, I'm almost hoping Disney steps in and puts a stop to it. It's like, well, all right, that's enough.
I like the idea of Disney's lawyers, like, reaching out to them and, like, we're not doing this for money. This is artistic integrity.
Stop with the puns.
There's a line in the sand and you crossed it. You crossed it over and over again. The Love Star package is available for $600, and the pricier, wow, the other one's pricier. I had that wrong. Yoda One For Me package, which includes round-trip limousine service and a Unity Sand ceremony, costs $860.
Don't try to make this, like, meaningful. You're getting married in Vegas. Come on.
I mean, know who you are.
Yes, please.
Like, I talk about this all the time in entertainment. The first lesson to learn in all of entertainment, know your audience.
Mm-hmm.
For something like this, know thyself.
Yeah, really.
Just be aware of what you're doing.
They don't want a Unity Sand ceremony. They want a lightsaber battle.
Yes.
That's what they want.
We've all seen the viral video that was famous 20-some years ago of the kid in the driveway or in his garage swinging his lightsaber.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's every one of us.
Yeah.
That's every Star Wars fan.
You know what they really see now? If Disney really got it right, what they should do, you know, they got the Galaxy's Edge down in Orlando, right? What they should do is have their version of medieval times, only Star Wars.
Oh, wow. Oh.
So not only are you going to have a whole themed dinner of it, you can have a big lightsaber battle in it, you know?
You get out of here right now, and you go make that happen.
I can't. Disney owns
that one. Go. Like, you go reach out. You got
to reach out to Disney.
Beth worked there. Come on. Right. She's got to know people.
Hundred thousands of people that worked at Disney. Yes.
I like the idea of assuming that, like, just because she worked there 20 years ago. She worked there longer than 2 minutes.
So if
I don't have a problem with themed weddings. I really, really don't.
No.
It's your day. Don't let anybody.
Have fun with it.
I have actually a little bit more problem with a destination wedding, but even that I don't really have an issue with.
No.
It's your day. Do your thing.
Right.
Know yourself, what you're saying.
Right.
If you're going to do the Star Wars wedding, you understand that you're doing a Star Wars wedding.
Yeah, right. Just do the Star. If you want to really do it, just do it at home. You know, plan it wherever you are. You know, you can probably do actually a better job than they're doing, honestly.
There are probably a few things I am farther from than getting married again. I don't think that any human being needs to be put through that. But it got me thinking about themed weddings.
Okay,
If you had to choose, like, you're going to get married, but you have to choose a themed wedding.
Right, you can't just have a regular one.
Yeah,
you have to choose a theme, right?
What kind of wedding would you choose? And I never really thought about this before and everything. And I immediately thought of a Roaring 20s. Like, I could,
Now that would be, that's so cool. I would totally be in on that.
Went right back to the pocket watch.
Yeah.
Because you got to have the pocket watch. It's not because I want a zoot suit. I want one of those big zoot suits. You got to have the pocket watch.
The big chain.
Yeah. Just not. And you have the ring on the pocket watch.
It's right there.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I like that.
Western
style wedding. I think those are kind of cool.
Be cool.
I've seen some of those. I've never been to one.
I've been a part of one. I've seen two. One was like a 50s theme, you know, the whole, you know, know, t-shirt with the greaser thing and the poodle skirt thing.
Oh, that's great.
That was fun.
Oh, I like that.
Because they did, I mean, the reception was great. Burgers and fries, you know, shakes and that kind of stuff, which was really cool. The one I was a part of was a pirate-themed wedding, and that was amazing because, I mean, two very creative people, you know, friends we met in theater and everything. The reception, they literally built the front half of a pirate ship.
That's incredible.
On a stage.
That's
to do
awesome.
like Highland dancing. I mean, it was really an amazing thing to be a part of. And by the way, our groomsmen's gifts, because I was one of the groomsmen, swords.
Yeah, that's
we got actually.
Now I remember
I've said that before.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's the best ever.
I still have my sword. Yes, I do.
One of my best friends, Steve, when he got married, we got glasses, custom glasses, mm-hmm. and everything, and I really love those. I'm going to call up Steve as soon as we're done with this segment and yell at him.
Like, where's my sword?
You missed the mark. Like, dude, it wouldn't have made any sense. I don't care. Had swords.
He tucks his hand, you're wearing swords. Yeah.
I love that. I'm a little surprised. Maybe we should all be proud of ourselves for this as a society, that weddings haven't become just about that. The gift that you get from it or something
right,
like that.
Exactly.
Like that. I don't even want to be at this thing, but I'm getting a sword.
I'm getting
a
sword, so I'll do it.
What would you choose for a theme wedding, everybody? Weird and fun answers only. But my sister and her husband, Mac, did a Hawaiian wedding. They got married
Very nice.
A little more stripped down. They wanted it to be a little more unplugged, if you will. And
sure.
they got married over at Wazicha mm-hmm. and did a Hawaiian theme wedding.
That's very cool.
It was a lot of fun. It was
those are the ones that seem to have less pressure on them.
Yeah.
Because they're more about not just, you know, the couple getting married, but it's about people participating and having fun with it.
Their ceremony was outside, and I've never seen a ceremony outside, the vows outside
or
anything.
The whole thing, right.
Oh, that was, I can remember it like it was yesterday.
That
it was beautiful.
So cool.
It was
That's
awesome.
So cool.
We picked a great spot. It was a really good one. We will take a time out. We'll come back with the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club on mornings at WFHR. You heard the boys. It's time to do some celebrating with our great friends over at El Cafe and the Birthday and Anniversary Club. We appreciate the gang over at El Cafe. Visit them today. Can't think of a better way to start your day.
Mm-hmm.
221 Market Avenue, beautiful Port Edwards. Treat yourself. Get on over there, everybody.
Yes, indeed.
And, of course, get us those birthdays and anniversaries. We love celebrating with you, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You can email us, info@WFHR.com. You can, of course, direct message us on our Facebook pages, and you can call up.
715-424-2600. Call up now, everyone. We want to hear birthdays of people, obscure, you know, we don't care who it is. We want to hear who these people are. We need no more people. Why am I being serious? I don't understand. But call up, let us know, or use the Civic Media app to call us up that way too.
For too long, we've taken this segment too silly. We need to be
more serious.
About it. You're right. You're right in my wheelhouse now. Going serious. Yes.
Oh no. Oh no. It's finally happened.
Done it now. Who is celebrating birthdays for this April 30th, the final day of April? Let's find out. But first, Seth, I need a one or a two.
Two.
All right. Guess that's our qualifier. So first up, we want to wish happy birthday to Tom Wilkes.
Happy birthday, Tom.
Enjoy the day, sir. Hope it's a good one for
you. Good one for you.
And we wish a very happy birthday to our qualifier, Sue Onetsi.
Sue, happy birthday. Congratulations on qualifying.
Say that last name, Seth, would you?
Onesti? Something like that. Onesti, I think, is how I would say it.
Beautiful last name.
That's
I
really
get
cool.
That right. That's a great last name, Sue. I want to get that right. And Sue, we encourage you to brag to all your friends, family, strangers, pets, that you are our qualifier for today.
Our final qualifier of the month. That's right. Tomorrow we get to pick the winner.
That's right. Tomorrow, Terry's going to freak out. She never gets to do
she
it.
Never
She's
going to do
get
that.
To pick the winner for the month of April. That's
nice,
awesome.
Nice.
And thank you for setting that up, Seth, because yes, tomorrow we're going to be announcing our winner for the month of April.
Mm-hmm.
What we do is collect qualifiers every day with this birthday and anniversary club, and at the beginning of every month, we pick a winner, and they win two gift certificates to El Cafe.
Worth $20 a piece.
I mean, it's free. All you got to do is get us your birthday or anniversary, everybody. And
that's
you can
all
be a part of this.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you to Tom, Sue, and everybody that got us those birthdays and anniversaries. Let's see who they're sharing their birthday with. Travis Scott is 34, rapper, and married to Kylie Jenner. Those are the things that I'm seeing about Travis Scott.
It should be the other way around. Married to Kylie Jenner and maybe as a rapper.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know.
That's what you do when you're married to an uber rich person, right?
You know, not for nothing though. When you know the when you're getting that mid 30s and you're a rapper, that's hard to evolve. Like if you're a rock star or heavy metal or country or anything like that, you're in your mid 30s. You're almost in your prime.
Yeah, as helps, a rapper, actually,
you got to start deciding what you're going to do with the rest of your career. You really do, because you don't want to be the 45-year-old rapper with the head turned backwards trying to do lines that you were doing in your 20s. It doesn't go over as well. Just doesn't. It's an interesting thing to see. There's certain rappers like that can maintain and keep going, and then there's some where it just doesn't work for them once they hit a certain age. Ana de Armas is 37, wonderful Cuban-Spanish actress, starring in the upcoming John Wick spinoff Ballerina. Can't wait for it. She was incredible in Knives Out. She was really, like, Knives Out has got one of those eclectic, incredible casts, and she outacts almost everybody in it.
It's impressive, considering the talent there, yeah.
I think Daniel Craig is almost an underrated actor in some ways, and this happens with a character, or an actor that plays a famous character oftentimes.
Right, a lot of action roles, too, yeah.
But I think the world of him as an actor, she just plays him. The whole movie, man. She's so good.
Nice.
And she was the Bond girl in No Time to Die. She was in Blade Runner as well and played Marilyn Monroe in Blonde.
Wow.
Yeah, she's
quite a career.
Gal Gadot is 40.
She's 40 years old?
Wonder Woman's 40. There's been some great actors to play that character, of course, and everything, but I really appreciate what she did with the role and the way that she really paid homage to it and everything. Very similar. I don't know if they talked about it or not, but it's hard for me to believe that it's a coincidence. So when Henry Cavill got the role of Superman, the first thing he did was look at the training regimen that Christopher Reeve went through.
That's right.
And made an agreement with James Gunn and all those everybody. I'm not wearing a fake suit. This is going to be me. So when you see Henry Cavill as Superman,
that's him.
Just like Christopher Reeve, there's no fakeness or anything to that. And Gal Gadot did an almost same thing with, I just had it. I wanted to see Linda Hamilton, but Linda Hamilton would have made a great Wonder
Linda
Woman.
Linda Carter, I think, is what you're looking Linda for Carter. From the 70s. Yeah.
Yes. She really worked with Linda Carter, talked with her a lot. And
that's really cool.
I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
The one thing missing from the Wonder Woman movies, where was the invisible jet? We never got an invisible jet.
Man, that's one of the cooler things about the whole thing. I love the pantomime. It's so funny.
A lot of people seem to really like, I didn't see it, but a lot of people liked her as the evil queen in Snow White as well. Was one of the few things people commented on positively.
Right.
Kristen Dunst is 43, another great actor.
43, man. You forget she started so young and she's only 43. Wow, she's been in for a long time.
Another one where Interview with a Vampire, and she's working with Brad Pitt, Tom Cruise, Antonio Banderas. Some amazing, amazing actors that are fantastic. And that young lady outacts every one of them. She is incredible in that movie. She got typecast. She was so good in that movie for a while there. A couple of the Big Bang Theory actors celebrating a birthday, sharing a birthday. Kunal Nanhari is 44. Raj on the Big Bang Theory.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Johnny Galecki is 50. Wow, Johnny Galecki is 50. Leonard on the Big Bang Theory, but I think most of us got to know him as Dave, David on Roseanne.
On Roseanne, yep. He's been in a few movies, too. So, no, he's had a really good career, yeah.
Yeah. He and Kaylee Cuoco did a TV show or a movie together recently. He's got some great work. You know, he's been doing, keep it up, we're doing good work.
Right.
Oh, let's see. Isaiah Thomas is 64, Chicago's own former NBA star, NBA coach, NBA champion.
GM. I mean, he's done everything, basically. He could do the NBA.
Kyrie Irving has got incredible handles and is an amazing dribbler on both sides of the ball. He ain't Zeke. There's only one Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah.
Not talking about off the court or any of that stuff or anything. But, man, when it comes to guys who made his legacy is unknown to anybody outside of Chicago. Because Isaiah Thomas paved the way and set the stage for Tim Hardaway and Anthony Davis and so many other great Chicago athletes coming out of certain high schools in that area. Go back and watch Isaiah Thomas. Watch his dribbling. It's nothing to see an NBA player dribble without looking at the ball.
Right.
Isaiah Thomas dribble without touching the ball. Isaiah was the greatest dribbler ever.
It really seemed that way. Man,
he NBA was, champion.
I mean, those Pistons teams from the late 80s, early 90s, I mean, he was not only the leader, he was their best player, to be sure. Interesting group of guys.
Man, yeah,
that was an interesting team, man.
That starting five for the Bad Boy Pistons wouldn't survive 2 minutes in the NBA today. Not because they weren't good enough, because they'd be foul out.
I'd be Bill Laimbeer. I mean, come on.
Bill Laimbeer alone, he'd walk on the court and they'd foul him. Like, you'd
be ejected immediately.
Fouled out of the game. Fouled out. Merrill Osmond is 72 of the Osmonds.
Oh, wow. Okay. I know there's more than Donnie and Marie, but they're a bigger group, big family.
And some people no longer with us, like the legend, the great, the wonderful Cloris Leachman, born this day in 1925. Ma on Raising Hope, underrated TV show. Mm-hmm. Beverly Ann on The Facts of Life. Frau Blaucher.
Blaucher.
Maybe her greatest role. I don't know about her greatest role. Yeah. That's hard to say.
Yeah.
But probably her most famous
role. She was in so many, I mean, all those Mel Brooks movies that she was in. So funny, man. Her comic timing was just right on.
You hear me say this a lot with actresses, fearless. I would say that she may have been the first one, maybe Goldie Hawn. There's a couple that I can think of now that I say it, or actually Lucille Ball or Carol Burnett, probably.
Sure, yeah.
But really, Cloris Leachman's one of the first ones that I remember because I watched Young Frankenstein like on an endless loop when I was a kid. Yeah, she's just incredible at it. And Al Lewis, born on this day in 1923, Grandpa Munster, Munsters.
Al Lewis with those eyebrows.
Those eyebrows, man. Yeah.
So expressive.
Great facial expression.
Yes.
He was very
funny in that show.
And one more time, wishing a great birthday and anniversary to everybody out there celebrating, and especially a great day to our friends over at El Cafe. Join us tomorrow morning, right in this time slot. We'll be announcing our April winner, and we'll be celebrating our first birthdays of May.
Yeah.
Woo. We'll be back with more show coming up mornings here at 97.5 FM WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you. We hope you're having a fantastic Wednesday out there. Happy hump day, everybody.
Yeah.
You've heard about paying it forward. We were actually just talking about this earlier this week. Paying it forward, the idea of it, the meaning behind it, and all those things. Where this is where someone pays for... Now, looking at this in a drive-through sense...
right, that's kind of where it came from, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So where someone pays for the person behind them, it's nice, but it also puts them in a spot where they have to decide if they'll do it for the next person.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little like the idea, it's not the same thing, certainly, but it's a little bit like the idea of getting somebody a pet for their birthday or for a holiday or something. Like, you might be trying to do something nice, but you're really giving them a responsibility.
That's the thing, right? Yeah.
Actually watched a great SNL sketch last night about basically it was a game show, but the person won right away and they got a turtle. A tortoise.
A tortoise.
They can live up to 200 years. And it was basically the host of the game show just did this because at 6 years old his dad gave him this tortoise and he's been living with it ever since.
He's trying to get rid of it. Oh,
he's
my
trying
god
to get rid of it. Like,
that's good. I like that.
I feel like that when we're trying to do these nice things sometimes in society, we're putting something on somebody's shoulders that may not want to do it.
Right.
I don't want somebody doing something nice because they're forced to. I want them to do it for the right reasons.
Right.
And that person may not have the finances to be able to do something like that or whatever, and you just don't know.
Exactly.
Well, a woman is going viral on TikTok for sharing her experience of someone paying it backward.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Her name is Samantha, and she was at a Dunkin' drive-thru last week, and when she pulled up to the window, the clerk told her that the guy ahead of her, who'd left, told them that she would be paying for his order. Okay. In the caption, she said, "To the random guy in front of me who lied to the employee, I hope you have the day you deserve." Samantha later posted a follow-up where she clarified that she did not pay for his order and that Dunkin' employees were very cool about it, even though they were frustrated that the guy had essentially stole his coffee.
Right.
She said that she was taken aback that someone would do that. She also shared the video of her trying to restore goodness in the world by going back to the Dunkin' and paying for the person behind her.
Okay.
There was a Tim Robbins sketch also like this. Tim Robbins is underrated, by the way. His show, I Think You Should Leave, on Netflix is amazing. The idea of this, obviously, this is tacky, it's wrong, all those things.
Right.
I don't have a ton of, I wasn't born with a lot of hope or faith in me. My brain is much more reptilian, and I don't like it, but it's who I am, and I'm trying very hard to be better about this in life. Right. And open myself up to more of these right. things. When it comes to something like this, this does go to something that I believe 100% in. And I have very few things like this in life where I can't tell you mathematically why this happens or scientifically why this will happen. But I do believe in karma.
Okay.
I do believe that you get what you put into this world.
Okay.
I can't put my finger on why, but I've seen enough evidence in sure. my life to be like, okay, that was karma catching up with you. For better or worse. Sometimes it's a positive. Like this lady, I believe genuinely that something great is going to happen to her.
Right.
And I believe something negative is going to happen to this person. and I will wholeheartedly admit that this is also maybe even a placebo. And maybe there is. It's just to make me feel better about these stories in life.
Sure.
And I don't have any problem with that.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. You know, there's something else to consider here, too. What, you know, how do you take a bad situation and what good can you bring out of it? Which I think is very underrated, you know, especially when you're in the middle of bad stuff, you know, and it's easy. It's totally, and I get it. It's totally easy to be like, oh, bad stuff is happening, man. Oh, what's wrong? Why me? You know, that kind of thing. And again, that's natural. I get it. That's fine. But it's taking that and turning it around. What can you do to make the good out of the bad? To me, that's some of the most truly amazing things that have happened to that humans have done in this world is from doing that, taking the bad and making it good.
I don't even know if he realizes it, but when I was a kid, my dad gave me a really good life lesson. They won a big game, and him and his team were freaking out. They were excited. I remember him staying up late and everything, and then I remember him getting up early, and I'm eating cereal and asking him why he's getting up so early after the long night. He's like, we got practice. You know, and it was like nothing had happened the day before.
Wow.
And it just went right back to work and everything. Mm-hmm. The idea of giving yourself some time with something and then moving past it, whether it's a good or a bad thing. And I do this. Right. I try to do this with negative things. How can I learn? How can I get better? Mm-hmm. I get myself a couple hours or a night with something.
Right.
And the next day you try to move on, to get past. I think a lot of this kind of these kind of situations in life, you have to give yourself a venting moment.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you got to get it out of your system, hopefully, and you can move past it.
And it can be hard. I understand that. You know, it can be really hard, especially for like really bad stuff that happens. Man, it may take longer. You know, it may take longer than just an hour or two. You may have to go through a process, you know, like when someone very special to you passes away. You know, that's a process, the grieving process, to help, you know, you move on to the next thing, right? Without them, unfortunately, but that's what you have to try to do.
And I got to say, and I, again, not speaking for anybody else, but I feel like, if not always, that we've all experienced the joy of killing somebody with kindness.
Yeah.
There are few things better, like any good comeback or quote revenge or anything like that. Like that stuff is here or there. It has its moment or whatever, maybe. But killing somebody with kindness is such a great way. It's such a mental, just a karate chop. It's a cha. It's such a good one.
It's that whole, you're not going to get me. Yep. I'm not going to allow you to get to me. I had, when I was working at a credit union many years ago, we had one of the tellers who was amazing at that very thing. A difficult a customer would come in, something would happen, and she would get sickly sweet. I mean, it was amazing to watch her do this, and it was just always, man, wow, she was good.
There's people that are just masters of tact.
Yes, they
are.
They're
just really good at it. Yeah, that ain't right. That story ain't right.
No.
This is a right story. If you ever work through your lunch break, you're not alone. And it's not just an American thing. A recent study in Australia found around 80% of workers do it sometimes, and most said it has a negative effect on their mental health.
Mm.
It's easy to do if you've got a deadline, or you're in the middle of a project, or you're me. I just don't even think about it.
Stop to eat?
I don't even think about it. I don't. My stomach is yelling at me, and I'm like, what do you want? What are you bugging me for?
Shut up.
I took care of you yesterday. Why are you here again?
Oh, wait.
Oh, that's
every
right.
Every day? I got to do this every day?
Every... Oh,
Man.
So for people like me, there's this mental hack that they're that's making the rounds and everything. So they're talking about setting a lunch alarm. That might be a good idea for some people, like on your phone, having an alarm set for noon or whenever you have time for lunch, just to specifically remind you, hey, eat.
And time to refuel.
An expert in workplace psychology talked about why working through lunch is a bad habit to get into. She says, we think that not taking breaks is making us more productive, but the trade-off is we're not giving our brains a chance to rest. Ugh. And over the long haul, it actually makes you less productive. She says, putting strategies in place to prevent burnout is the best approach. So setting a lunch alarm can encourage you to take the lunch break more often and the one you need. Just don't hit snooze 12 times when you're doing it.
See, this is, okay, we've learned this a long time ago in exercise, right? You need to give your muscles that break in order to function properly. Just going in every day working, you know, 8 hours a day is not going to make you stronger or healthier. In fact, it could have serious effects on the opposite on your body. The brain is exactly the same. We have learned, you know, every time you use your brain, you know, for like your job, say you use your brain a lot, it uses the exact same amount of energy as it does for physically laboring. It's the same thing. And this makes total sense to me. You need to give it a break because like they said, you're not going to be better if you just keep working. You need to take that break. If you want to be better at your job, you need to take breaks.
One of my favorite things is learning new things. Mm-hmm. And I learned a while back that no matter what I tried to do, I could not retain information after midnight or certain things.
That's right.
Because my brain was done.
Yeah.
My receptors were done.
It literally can't do it anymore.
Yeah. You don't really retain information. And, mm-hmm. and it's no different if it's at noon or midnight. Mm-hmm. You know, if your brain is tired or if your brain is not getting the rest it needs, it just literally scientifically cannot take that information in.
I'll bet you everyone has done this before. You're trying to do something and it's not working. You get super frustrated. You keep trying. You get more and more frustrated. Okay. You walk away an hour, whatever it is. You come back. You got it.
Yep.
Immediately done. See, it works. It really works.
I feel like this is one of those things as well where here's an opportunity for us to all do an exercise that every single person on the planet needs to do and get better at. Mm-hmm. And that is, we've gotten really good with mental health and talking about mental health. Hey, good on us. High five, everybody. That's cool. That's really great that we did that. Now the real work begins.
Yes.
Where we not only give each other some grace in these subjects, but we give ourselves some grace on these subjects as we're learning more and more about the brain that we've ever known before and more about these things that are going on up there.
Right.
There is not a person in the world that can control these things. It's a chemical thing.
Nope. You're absolutely right.
Whether we're talking about whatever we're talking about, there needs to be a balance of personal responsibility and owning these things and understanding your own brain and understanding as best you can the more you go on, the older you get, while also your friends, your family, all of these things, understanding I can't control this. This is not something I can control any more than you get to choose who you love.
Right.
It's just the way that our chemistry works, our brains work, and we got to roll with it sometimes and try to get better and give each other grace about
it. And that's one of the things is about taking responsibilities, understanding what you can take responsibility for. There's so many things you cannot. And if you do, that has a very negative effect on you as a person mentally and all those things. Finding out what you can control and you can't is very important.
I just wish I had read this study in high school. Man,
they didn't have it then.
No, I mean, they didn't know that. But man, so many times I stayed up late thinking, I'll just stay up late and cram. And did not. Spoiler alert, everybody.
Didn't work?
Didn't help. Ended up in radio. No, I'm joking.
What a bump.
Take a time out. We'll come back and have some more fun on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you. We hope you're having a great Wednesday out there. Mm. Oh, every 90s kid just started bopping their head.
They did. Totally.
It's 90s beats, man. It seemed like a good time to be a producer.
Man, let's take a pause here and appreciate a New Jack Swing.
Yes.
For a minute.
Yes.
It didn't last very long, but actually it was pretty darn good.
It was really good. I loved it, man. That was some good stuff in that time.
Yep.
Here is a fun one and an interesting one, I think. What is the percentage of Americans that hate it when someone asks to help them move? This the subject of many TV shows and comedy sketches over the years.
Sitcom 101.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I need someone to help me move.
And from both angles of this, the person having to ask and the person, of course, needing to help or should help or we're going to help. There are three kinds of favors. The minor kind people are like helping with, the major kind people will reluctantly help with, and someone asking for help with a move, which is, of course, the most difficult.
Of course.
In a survey, 38% of people say that they secretly hate when even being asked to help a friend or family member move.
Wow.
And that makes some sense. It's hard to get out of. It takes a long time, and it typically involves stress, manual labor, and the risk of messing stuff up.
Wait a minute. It's hard to get out of? So wait, you're saying yes just to figure out a way to not do it? Come on now. What's wrong with you?
I maintain this is one of the most fascinating things about human beings to me.
Oh, I think you're right.
The politeness to strangers we have, and there's no like rhyme or reason. It's not some lesson we learned in school or something along those lines.
Right.
We just have this tendency for everything rude we might do or for every time we're asking people to give some grace or pay it forward or something like that. Yeah. There are things about us in society that if a coworker that you just met asks you to move, you feel immediately are either thinking of do I have the time, do I have the physical strength to do this, or how do I get out of this?
Get out of it. Do I look like my calendar? I gotta have something, right?
This is a stranger. You could just tell them, no, I don't want to do that. Yes. Why would I want to spend my Saturday helping you move? I don't even know your last name. Right. But instead, we're like, oh wow, Tony, yeah. I'd love to, but oh, I got this thing. As your brain, you're making noises to try to come up with something to do.
You're stalling, basically.
I gotta move. Oh, darn it. No, that's like,
yeah. Well, Tony, can you help me move?
Darn it. If you're the one needing help, people say the top three things you can do to sweeten the pot are buying food and drinks, paying for the help, and of course, promising to return the favor when the time comes. Now, the first two I agree with.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of paying somebody is great on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
What human being is going to be like, yeah. Yeah, pay me. Like, it's usually a family member or a friend. Man, I ain't going to have my friend give me $20 to help them move. I could never live with the guilt of that.
Man, if you're going to pay for someone to move, just pay movers.
Just pay professionals.
Yeah, just pay, have them do it. Yeah.
The amount of money you're going to spend on the food and the drinks or the paying someone or any of this, you might as well spend 10 more bucks or whatever it is.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, I know it might be a little more expensive, but I mean, seriously, just do it that way.
So why don't people just hire professionals?
There we go.
54% of people say it is too expensive. 29% say that they don't feel like they need professionals, quote-unquote professionals. Mm-hmm. And 17% say that they don't trust strangers with their stuff.
I have dealt with enough professional movers now that a lot of different things. They all have been very courteous. They've all been careful. I'm, the old cliche about them, just chucking stuff into the truck. That's not true. They wouldn't stay in business if they did that.
Every business is a reputation business.
Right.
If one of these businesses was doing that, you would know because they would have been bankrupt by now.
Exactly. Especially movers.
Yeah.
Where it's very important.
Of course, the expensive part is very understandable. I mean,
yeah, I get that.
99% of the moving I've done in my life is because I could not afford the last place. Right. So I get that. Yeah.
That happens.
And both Seth and I have moved a lot in our life. So I feel like this is not our wheelhouse necessarily, but it's something that we know quite a bit about.
We have some information on it.
We've both been in this situation a lot. And I only ask people that I have a good feeling are going to say yes.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And in my family's experience, I'm being honest about this one. This is where you find out who your real friends are. My mom and dad were in a very difficult situation where my father was not available. It was just up to my mom and my sister and I and my brother. And this was when I was much younger. And we asked a number of people around here to help us move. And one person showed up.
Oh, no.
And we haven't talked to any of those other people since. Had those people given us an excuse and not just ignored us, that'd be completely different.
That'd be something else, right?
I'm all for all understanding of, hey, even if they said, I just don't want to.
At least they reached out and it gave you enough, you know, courtesy for that.
Right? I have no issue with that. It's not an excuse. It's fine. I would rather that. Mm-hmm. Because I've also, with the experiences I've had moving, had the person who says yes, but they're not really there.
No.
They're grabbing, like, silverware. They're grabbing, like, the you know, the things, paper right? towels yeah. and moving. Yeah, and stuff. I'm like, all right, I don't need you, man. I don't need, you know.
The whole reason, I could have done that myself, right? Yeah, I need the other stuff, man.
On the other side of it, helping people move, and I just helped one of my oldest friend do this some months back and everything. Mm-hmm. This is one of those ones where I've never said no. I've mm-hmm. never said no to right. somebody asking me to help them move.
Right.
But I have always been nervous about breaking something of theirs.
That's part of it, yeah.
I bring up, it's my oldest friend. There's literally nobody in the world outside of family members that I've known longer mm-hmm. than this guy. And I still was nervous about breaking his dart set or something yes, like that or exactly. whatever and everything. That part I completely right. understand. That I get.
If you're thinking about reciprocity, I mean, you know, there's always the chance that you're going to need help yourself, right, at some point. And a good way to get people to help you is to totally hold it over their head. No, I'm just kidding.
Yes, yes, yes. Guilt.
I helped you move. What are you doing, man?
Yes.
The old guilt.
That's a great one. I'd love to hear from you guys if there's other options or other things that you can think of to sweeten the pot or what have you. Or what is your go-to excuse? What is your reason? My back!
I guess.
Doctor says I need a bacchiotomy. Need a whole new one.
Oh, man. You know, I got to say, there's something good. There's something very satisfying, you know, after helping someone move and getting the beer and pizza, you know, the obligatory beer and pizza or pop or whatever you drink. There's something very satisfying about that moment after you're done. And you know you did something good. You helped a friend out and you got some pizza, you know. If pizza's at the end, that's not a bad thing, right?
Usually most things in life.
Right. Yes. If it ends with pizza, that's good.
I couldn't agree with you more. We don't focus on this enough in life where they're doing the action and the feeling good from it.
Yes.
You know,
the satisfaction of a job well done.
How right? much that's worth it. I had that helping my buddy the other mm-hmm. couple months ago, but the thing I didn't catch of it, and I don't know what this says about me, but I found it nostalgic too.
Oh, interesting.
Like moving. Like just the idea of doing it and everything.
How much you did as a kid. I can totally see that, actually.
It was weird, but yeah. One of the fun things our city is doing is adopting No Mow May. We've been doing this for years around mm-hmm. here, and the mayor just put out a proclamation about No Mow May tomorrow, kicking off tomorrow, everybody.
Yeah, it starts tomorrow.
Now, the city has done a couple of cool things with this. They have allowed it to where now you don't have to have a sign out in your yard. You, mm-hmm. you might, but you don't have to.
Right.
They've also designated some spots on city property to leave unmowed. The 20th Street over by 2 Mile Avenue in Griffith, 16th Street over by 2 Mile in Coon, mm-hmm. Whitrock Avenue around the Stormwater Pond on 16th and 2 Mile, Sandlot Park, and McMillan Memorial Library.
All right.
All great things for all of our pollinators.
Yes, very important.
I want you to, if you're in somewhere where you can look outside right now, I want you to take a look and see some of that beautiful green out mm-hmm. there. It could be greener. Mm-hmm. It could be bigger, and it will be if we do this right.
Yep.
If we go ahead and just give ourselves a couple of weeks here of this. And when I was a kid, I remember there being a real push from two of our states to not celebrate Martin Luther King's birthday. Mm-hmm. And I also remember having the thought afterwards, how much do you have to dislike something to not take the day off of work?
That's just crazy.
Like, nobody says you have to, you know, do anything as far as Martin Luther King. You
no.
just have to not go to work that day.
Right.
How badly do you have to dislike something to not do that? All we're saying here is you don't got to mow for a month.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
Like oh no. Oh no. Like, you don't even have to say you're doing it for the pollinators. You could say because you just want to give your mower a month off or your body a month off. The pollinators don't care.
No, it's not like the
bees. The bees are buzzing around. Like, he's not doing it for the right reasons.
Yeah. Forget this guy.
Because bees do buzz in between their words, and they speak English apparently. Just do it. And I almost promise you, you're going to see the rewards in your lawn the rest of the summer.
Yeah.
You're going to see the rewards in our city the rest of the summer.
Right.
This isn't some kind of like a hoop-de-doop-de thing that people, that just a bunch of people came up with for fun.
We live in an agricultural state. This is very important in an agricultural state.
everything is connected. We talk about this with our water all the time. Mm-hmm. Our land is no different. And what you do here affects the state, affects the planet.
Yes.
It's a positive. And there are no downsides to this. No. We encourage you to be a part of No More Math. It's coming up starting next month.
Woo!
We'll be back with more show, everybody. We got it right around the corner for you. We're looking forward to diving into some entertainment news, got some other fun stuff. And before we wrap up, some outdated slang words that we're going to bring back.
I'm ready. I am so ready.
We're bringing them all back. It's going to be so radical. Can't wait. Coming up.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.